Rabbi Shimon Weingarten, Eitza Amuka.
The perspective of Chazal on what happens to Klal Yisrael in any given tekufa is broader than any historian could possibly explain and analyze. The historian, the secular historian who looks at events and he tries to bring to bear all the facts and piece together a picture of what actually happens, and even that is done with a tremendous subjectivity and the gius, depending upon the environment in which the historian was reared and the events that have taken place involving him, and he comes to a subjective viewpoint. The understanding of Chazal, however, is an understanding which is based on their Ruach HaKodesh, their Siyata Dishmaya, in analyzing events which can only come about as a result of Mesiras Nefesh for Talmud Torah. Mesiras Nefesh for learning is the essence of Hanukkah, and with your indulgence we'll perhaps look at this inyan a little deeper. In fact, the expression deep is that which is used by Chazal in explaining the pasuk when Yaakov Avinu sent Yosef to search for his brothers. The pasuk says, "Vayishlachehu me'emek Chevron," that he sent Yosef, Yaakov Avinu sent Yosef, a tzaddik, from the valley of Chevron. We know that Chevron is not a valley. And Chazal tell us in Medrash Rabbah, Rashi quotes it, "Me'etza amuka shel oisei tzaddik hakovo bechevron." This is all to do with the deep planned design of the tzaddik buried in Chevron, Avraham Avinu, lekayim asher ne'emar l'Avraham bein habsorim, the bris bein habsorim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, "Yodah teida ki ger yezanacha be'eretz lo lahem va'avodum ve'inu isam aba miyeshama." Rav Tam Zechetzadik Livracha asks, hang on, it wasn't the Eitzah Amuka of Avraham Avinu, it was the Eitzah Amuka of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why do Chazal attribute the plan of going into Golus as belonging to Avraham Avinu? It seems that it was the zechus of Avraham Avinu which caused the whole chain of events which led to Golus Mitzrayim. That dafka in the zechus of Avraham Avinu, the Gezerah foretold that Bris Bein HaBesorim had to happen in the way that it did and not in any other way. What's the implication of that? It says in Parshas Vayishlach, "Vayihi chitas Elokim al ha'orim asher sevivoseihem v'lo yirodfu acharei b'nei Yaakov," that the fear of Hashem was on all the cities which surrounded the Bnei Yaakov, and they didn't pursue them after the events at Shechem with the scuttling of the townsfolk. There could have been an annihilation of the Bnei Yaakov, and had the nations, the surrounding nations, pursued the Bnei Yaakov, they would have been forced to flee to Mitzrayim. And the Afchalta de Geula with an Afchalta de Galusa would have been fulfilled in that way. But the Sakona the danger of assimilation would have been and was awesome, and it's conceivable that Klal Yisrael would not have been able to survive such a golus to remain true to Avraham Avinu and what he stood for, and Yitzhak Avinu and Yaakov Avinu. The Eitzah Amuka came from the Mesaber Kol Hasibos Ribono Shel Olam through the Zechus of Avraham Avinu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had promised him that even though they would be in Golus, that they would exit Mitzrayim with a tremendous rechush, which means be'ika, the ruchnis dike rechush of having been strengthened, annealed by Golus Mitzrayim to prepare themselves for a Torah nationhood. It dafka had to be through the Mechiras Yosef and everything that came from that, and it stemmed from the Zechusoy Shel Avraham Avinu, who'd worked so hard to create a nation of Anshei Kodesh. Medrash HaShirim focuses on the following pasuk: Gan Noel Achoisi Kala. Klal Yisrael, described as the bride, is also described in a completely different, a different type of metaphor, Gan Noel, the field, the closed garden. From what is Klal Yisrael sealed off? Zong Chazal. B'shar she'goda Yosef esor erevo b'mitzrayim. The Medrash in Shir HaShirim. When Yosef HaTzadik made a fence to protect himself from immorality in Egypt, Zochu kol Yisrael ligdo erevosom b'mitzrayim. That had the knock-on effect that Klal Yisrael who came down to Mitzrayim were gedurim ba'aroyos. May Aroyas were fenced off from immorality. That means before Klal Yisrael came down to Mitzrayim, it was necessary for there to have been an Avodah Kosher, Me Avodah Kosher Sheba Migdosh, to be Mekadesh Am Yisrael, that had to be done by somebody. And that was none other than Yosef HaTzadik with the terrible Nisoyon of Erva, Eishes Poitifah, and his Avodah paved the path for the Tzaniyos and for the Kedusha of Am Yisrael. That's part of the plan. The second part, that Yosef, by becoming the Mishnah LeMelech, it says Yosef hu hashalit, hu hamashbil, cholam ha'oretz, through that the Bnei Yaakov were able to live successfully in peace in Eretz Goshen and to focus their lives on what needs to be focused upon, as Chazal say, Ves Yehuda Sholach Lahoros Lafon of Goshna. And Chazal tell us, Letaken Loi Beis Ulfana, to establish the Beis HaMedrash. That's the true infrastructure of Am Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael lived for 70 years in the Seviva of the Torah and the Seviva of Kedusha, Yosef supplying all their physical needs, until the Derech HaOvos had taken deep root in the Nebonov Shel Yaakov Avinu, and they could withstand the Golus and wouldn't be subject to assimilation. And so when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov Avinu, Al tiro meldo mitzrayma, don't be afraid to go down to Egypt, v'anoichi eire dimcho mitzrayma v'anoichi a'alcho gam oloi, I'll go down to Mitzrayim with you, I'll take you out. And then he adds something, for Yosef yoshis es yodoi al einecho. There was a rov in the town of Siedlitz in Poland, and he was the Zayda of Rav Tam. And he gives the following interpretation of a Yosef Yoshis Yodai Aleinecho. Yaakov Avinu was far-sighted. He knew what was necessary for Klal Yisrael. He had an Eino Pekicha. Together with that, Yaakov, you don't need to worry. Al tira merda Mitzrayim. Because whatever you see as important in rooting the Torah, in rooting Kedusha Nam Yisrael, that will happen in practice through Yosef. He's your Yad Yamin. The Yosef Yoshes Yodoi, he'll put his Yad Yamin, all his effort will go into seeing to it that a nechad, that the requirements of what you see as necessary in Klal Yisrael will indeed be fulfilled. That's how one prepares for Golos. Now the Yetzah Amuka of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Zechus of Avraham Avinu, who tried to nurture his son in the Derech HaTorah of HaKedusha, it was a Noila Temima, that should be preserved. It could only be preserved through that way, through the annealing process, a strengthening process in the Kuah HaBarzel of Ervas HaOretz of Mitzrayim. And the first Golos, says Rabbeinu Bachya in Parshas Shemos, was a prototype for all future Goluyos. Every single type of decree, every type of persecution that manifested itself in later Goluyos was already in Mitzrayim. But there's a Havtocha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki lois yishakach mipi zaroi. The Torah will never be forgotten. Wherever Klal Yisrael go into Golos, the Torah will never be forgotten. It's an Eitzah Amukah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaHashgacha Pratis that the Torah will never be forgotten. Sometimes it's weaker, in some places it's weaker, in some places it's stronger. If you fast forward to the time just before the destruction of Bayis Rishon, Malchus Yehuda is on its last legs, but it's not yet the final year of the destruction. It's 11 years before that. The king at the time was Yechoniah Melech Yehuda, and he already went into Golos then 11 years before the Churban Bayis Rishon. And together with him, we are told, went down Hechorosh VeHamazger. What do Chorosh and Mazger mean? Chazal say these are the Gedolei Torah. And we learn in Masechet Gittin, Mishigala Yechonia Lebovel VaChorosh VaMazger Imoi, Rashi and Davov in Gittin. The times of the Golos of Yechonia, together with the Chorosh and Mazger, Loi Poska Torah Mehem. We were never without Torah in Bovel. So much so that Rabbi Yochanan, the Godel Hador in Eretz Yisrael, said to his Talmidim, Sava Yisisha Torah Shalachem, I thought the Torah was yours. It belonged to you, the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. Avarisi Shisha Bnei Bovel, but I can see that it belongs to the Bnei Bovel. They are preeminent in Torah Shafal Pishe Golu, even though they're in Golos Omdolehem Chochmos HaChorosh VaHamazgeh, they've retained the wisdom of those original Talmid of Hachomim, Shegolu Im Yechonia. The Gemara Megillah Chavtev tells us, where's the Shechina in Bavel? Where can you find the Shechina? The Beit Knishta de Shav Yosef in Nahada'ah. In Nahada'ah there was a Beit Knesset, which was built by Yechonia, and that was built from the stones and from the dust, the earth of Eretz Yisrael. And there the Shechina was present. Provided we have the Torah, we have the Shechina. If you then fast forward after the period of the Ge'onim in Bavel, four Gedolim from Bavel went on a mission and they were captured. The four captives, the Arba Shavuyim, took the Torah to Spain and to North Africa, to Morocco, to Tunisia, to Egypt. Rabbeinu Chushiel was the father of Rabbeinu Hananel, Rabbeinu Moshe, the father of Rabbeinu Chanoich, and Rabbeinu Shemaria, but Rabbi Elchanan, the fourth one's name is not known. They were captured by pirates and they were ransomed at different ports on the Mediterranean coast. Rabbeinu Chushiel was redeemed in Kairouan, in North Africa, Rabbeinu Shemaria in Egypt, Rabbeinu Moshe and his son Hanoich were freed in Cordoba in Spain. And that's how the golden chain of Torah continued, despite the dwindling of the Shtei HaYeshivos in Baghdad. And so it continues, Habotas HaTorah. Because the Zorach HaShemesh Uva HaShemesh, Yomayim Kiddushin, Dafayim Beis, tells us, Ad Shaloi Kovsa Shimshoi Shel Eli, Zorcha Shimshoi Shel Shmuel HaRamosi, that just before the demise of Eli HaKohen, Shmuel's star or sun started rising. And part of that process of the Zorach HaShemesh Uva HaShemesh was the rise of the Chashmonaim. The Ramban in Parshas Vayechi says that if it weren't for the Chashmonaim, Nishtakcha Torah v'Mitzvos Mi'Yisrael, everything would have been forgotten. How many Chashmonaim were there, you think? 13. Rashi in Parshas Zeres HaBrocha refers to 13 people fighting thousands upon thousands of Yevonim. And so Hanukkah is the festival of victory against Shikchat HaTorah. The Torah could have been forgotten. If there wouldn't have been the Chashmonaim, we would not be sitting here this morning. And then Nitzachon wasn't with a physical koyach, lo v'chayel v'lo v'koyach, kiyim beruchi. That was the spirit of it. Because what do we say in the davening? Masata giborim biyad haloshim. The warriors were in the hands of the weak. The emes, the chashmonaim, were weak. Torah mateshes koicho shel adam. But the gevura was, like we find in the case of Shimshon, and like we find in the case of David HaMelech, Vatitzlach olav ruach Hashem. We find in the case of Shimshon similar expression in the case of David HaMelech, Vatitzlach ruach Hashem al David. And Rashi explains that means a ruach gevura, a spirit of strength, which wasn't naturally in them. But it's Mesira b'yad chaloshim. B'tivom they remained chaloshim. They were given a special siyata dishmaya. What's the yisoid hadavar? The root of that is that to forget, to battle against forgetfulness in Torah, shikchas haTorah, be'ikah, what do we need? We don't need men with brawn, we need men with heart. You need balei ruach. You need people, says Rapam, who the elbow in haTorah means to them that the shame of the Torah, to which the Torah is being put, is so neger to them, they cannot stand the situation. And so they go out and fight against the odds. In our tekufa, the milchoma, first of all, we have to realize that there is a milchoma. Once you realize that there is a milchoma, then you can be successful. But you say la milchoma, first of all, you have to realize that there is a milchoma. The milchemet hayetzer is alive and kicking. The milchoma against the mores of the, or the lack of mores of the umas ha'olam, is alive and kicking. And the way in which we conduct this battle is not with physical weapons, it's with activities which are l'shem shamayim, to promote Torah and yir shamayim, mitzvot and matim tovim. And the side that displays the greatest degree of mesiras nefesh is the side that will win. That's how the battle is won, through mesiras nefesh. The Milchama of the Chashmonaim was fought with Mesiras Nefesh against the odds. The MS is, the vast majority of Klal Yisrael in the Tkufa of the Chashmonaim did not rise to the challenge, and they retained their Hellenistic tendencies. It was a very, very strong philosophy, and that's alive and kicking today as well. Especially now, with the tragic economic situation, we don't know what a tragic economic situation really looks like. Our people who lived through Milchomas in the early part of the 20th century, displacement of hundreds of thousands of Yidden, absolutely no parnasa whatsoever. So we're relatively cushioned. But even so, it is terrible, it's awful. And we have to have empathy for everybody who finds himself either without a job or on the verge of being without a job. And until one experiences it oneself, it's very impossible to talk about it. The Chofetz Chaim in the First World War, when he heard about the displacements of so many people, refused to sleep on his bed. He slept on the bench. To show his empathy. That economic downturn has meant that even amongst people who are normally very much in favor and in understanding of Talmud Torah, they're suddenly turning around and saying, why do we need so many kollelim? Why do we need so many yeshivas? Let them go and work. Yes, let them go and work and join the 20% unemployed in there to sell, so we can have some more unemployed. And we've forgotten perhaps how sensitive we need to be to the fact that what keeps this world going is Talmud Torah. Im loy v'risi yoimon v'loyla chukha shemai v'aretz loy somti. We would not be alive. We wouldn't be sitting in these seats. The whole thing would implode or explode if there would be a moment in this world when there wouldn't be Talmud Torah, says Rav Chaim Volozhiner. The Bris Torah is keeping us going. The more kollelim there are, the greater the chances are that we will regain economic prosperity. Get rid of the kollelim. Turf people out of the yeshivas, you'll see it'll get even worse. Rachmana Litzlan. Ki hein chayenu va'orech yomenu. Is not something, a mantra that we say, an automatic pilot, without thinking, without appreciating, unbelieving. If we want to remain on the right side of Apikosis and not on the wrong side, we better get this aspect of Ashkofa crystal clear. It's only through Torah that we have existence in this world. Planet Earth only is here in this Chus of Torah. So now's the time to embrace Torah. Yesterday we supported Torah because we had the wherewithal. Today we'll support Torah because we realize it's oxygen, it's our lifeblood. As Rabbi Akiva explained in his famous Moshul at the end of Gemara Brachas about the fox and the fish. A Meridika Maisa about Mesiras Nefesh. The Torah mitzvahs happen in the times of the Chasam Sofer's Chuso Yogin Olenu. Late one night, the Chasam Sofer called in the Rosh HaKehila with two other Chavrei of the Hanholat HaKehila, and when they came in, the Chasam Sofer closed his Gemara and he told them that he's heard that the governor had signed on a decree which would mean terrible tzaras, awesome tzaras for Yidden, and the document of the gezeira was still in the drawer of the governor, and we've got to get him to change his mind. If he doesn't change his mind, the letter will go out tomorrow to its addressee, and it'll be too late. We now need to be makdim refuah lemakor, and you've got to go and deal with it. He stood up, he shook their hands, and he sent them on their way. And they went out of the room of the Chatam Sofer, the Arkuvoy Sehen, Dolodon, Nakshon. They were trembling. What are they going to do? How are they going to do this job? In order to get to the mansion of the Moshe, they needed to cross a river. It was late at night. There's no ferry available. Eventually they knocked on the hut of a fisherman, and he screamed at them, but they gave him some grease, and then suddenly he became amenable, and it was a boat, it was a fisherman's boat, and it was stank of fish, and they had to sit in this greasy boat. And after some time they got across the river and they entered the gardens lay before the mansion, and when they were walking through the gardens they were apprehended by a sentry. Started screaming at them, "What do you want?" And they said, "Look, this is a public garden, there's no reason why we can't have a spazier, can't walk around over here." But then there was a whole tumult, and the Moshe woke up, opens the curtains, sees what's going on, and motions for the Jews to be brought into him. So he can't sleep anymore, so he might as well sit down with his people, find out what they want, and he offers them, brings in coffee. Hungarian Jews keep kashrus. The coffee comes with the milk in it, and they refuse to drink. They're drinking this. The Moshe's getting a bit annoyed. "Why aren't you drinking?" He said, "Look, we Jews have got a law that we have to have milk, which is shomer, and they're the best will in the world. It's not up to our standards. I'm terribly sorry, isn't it? We've got nothing against you. How do we know?" He said, "So what's the problem with milk? Tell me, what's Kenshin Zion? The problem with milk?" So they responded that maybe it comes from a camel. We don't know. What does it come from? A Dovaracha? We can't drink it. So this is ridiculous. He calls in one of his Mashalsim and he said, "Where's this milk come from? See, haven't we got a goat in the grounds of the mansion? It gives us wonderful goat's milk, very healthy." So he said, "I'm terribly sorry, O Lord, but yesterday the goat conked out and our neighbor has a camel. Just purchased it from somewhere in the Middle East. It weighs what? Your system is a mitre. Mitre shahoya kahoya. So this is camel's milk." So he was so impressed. The guy was so impressed. He said, "Wow, the scholars of Torah, they really know their stuff. Now, what are you doing here? What have you come for?" So they spoke about the Gezerah, and he took it out of his drawer and he ripped it up. They ran back to the Chatam Sofer and they said, told him what had happened, and they said, it is the tefillahs of the Rebbe that have achieved success for Klal Yisrael." He said, "The Chatam Sofer has got nothing to do with my tefillahs. Of course I doesn't. It was your Mesiras Nefesh. Is your Mesiras Nefesh for Kashrus? For Hashem's Torah, through his Chachomim, who declared that we have to be careful about this. There's a chashash on the milk. That's what won the day. Mitzvah Nefesh Torah Mitzvah is the Yisoid HaYisoidah. That's why the Chashmonaim won. Went out into battle, so the angels of Hashem took the weapons of the Goyim and threw them back towards them, that they were killed without the Chashmonaim having to lift a finger. But they had to go out into battle first. They had to have Mesiras Nefesh. Today, more than ever, we need Mesiras Nefesh. You see, there are Yidden in the world who are Mesiras Nefesh for Hashem and His Torah. You have to join them. One of the lessons of the recent tragedy in India the goyim have an unsfeind. Wherever we are, they hate us. And they'd be prepared to take away the lives of people who stand for Hashem's Torah. We don't know why negative things happen. We know, however, that there's a big plan. There's an Eitzah Amuka that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for his Am Yisrael. So long as we have the Torah HaKadosha behind us, Klal Yisrael will never go under. But now is the time for Mesiras Nefesh in the last moments before Bias HaMashiach. So we have to be mechazik ourselves on Chanukah, the Yom Tov which highlights Mesiras Nefesh, to have further Mesiras Nefesh for Hashem and His Torah. We should all be zocher to the Gula Hashem of Mehirav Yamein. Amen.